Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rat pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Now, it's Gabe time. Gabe Kuhn.
Gabe Kuhn was one of the great little trivial nuggets in all of football bios. His grandfather was the inventor of the Easy Bake Oven.
Like a boss, the best lineman on the radio. Well, the only lineman on the radio. It's Gabe time.
Game time. We're ready.
The Gabe Kuhn Show. 92.9 FM. ESPN.
Welcome in. It's a Monday, July 29, 2024. That is the date. It's time for the Gabe Kuhn Show. I'm your host, former Memphis Tiger offensive lineman Gabe Kuhn on X at @Kuhn71. I'm alongside a guy you've heard for the last 2 hours, but you'll be hearing him for the next three as well. That's Connor Dunning, the executive producer of the Gabe Kuhn Show on X, @SCDunning929. Connor, how was your weekend? How are you?
Great weekend.
Good to hear.
Yeah, fantastic weekend. Doing well. Enjoying all the Olympic Games. Saw
sure.
Deadpool Wolverine. That was a good time.
Oh, by the way, Deadpool Wolverine grossed, what was it?
$438 million.
That's good.
Around there.
That's pretty good.
Pretty good. Eighth biggest opening ever for an R-rated movie.
Yes. Now, that's something. But we also have a lot going on as far as the Olympics are concerned. Both Team USA women and men on the basketball side won their opening game in the group stage, but there's more where that comes from. We have 3 hours of talk on the way, courtesy of 92.9 FM, ESPN, and yours truly. We're going to open up on the Olympics at some point throughout the show, probably bottom half of this hour. We'll talk about John Morant. John Morant this weekend had his Hall of Fame induction at Murray State in front of those fans. And it's cool to see him get the time of day. It's cool to see him get into the Murray State Hall of Fame. I'll start there. But also, hearing his induction speech and the message he put out, I found to be a very positive message for Grizzlies fans going forward, for him going forward, for his family going forward. It was nice to see the acknowledgement of the way the last 2 years have gone for him. And I think that, you know, going into this whole thing, he could have approached it differently, but it's clear he's approaching it a certain way, and I think he's approaching it the positive way. I'll get to that at the bottom half of this hour. We have NFL training camp news all over the place. I love how much, you know, the training camp news. We have all the news aggregators out there, you know, saying, oh, Aaron Rodgers went 23 for 28 with 3 touchdowns in the team period. J.J. McCarthy threw a pick six. Like all of those different bits of news. But we also have injuries to talk about, suspensions to talk about. Plenty going on in the NFL right this second. We'll hop into the Blitz around 6:30. In the Blitz, we have Jordan Love getting paid. Is the contract worth it? 4 years, $220 million. He is tied to be the highest paid quarterback in NFL history from an APY standpoint. $55 million per year for a guy who played, I don't know, 8 to 10 good games last year in a good playoff game. Has not had 18 games altogether starting. Interesting, but we'll talk about if that's worth it. And I do want to visit an interesting conversation around all of the contracts we've seen lately. Which ones are risky? Which ones are risky? I think Jordan Love fits into that category. Trevor Lawrence may fit in that category. But we'll talk about which are the riskiest of the big contracts we've seen at the quarterback position in the past year or two. Tyus Jones, you were right. You were right. Signed with the Suns. Thought it was a good signing.
Made the most sense.
Made the most sense, but he gets a minimum deal, which is what we talked about before we left the office on Friday. The elimination of the middle class is something we have to continue to watch. And the fact that Luke Kennard hasn't gotten signed yet makes me wonder what his leverage is like behind the scenes with the Grizzlies. Are they trying to drive the price down, looking at some of these other deals that have been signed around the NBA? I certainly wonder. And then we'll go on from there, wrap up the show. We have a couple of guests today. One will be David Cobb at 5 o'clock, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, from CBS Sports, college football, and college basketball. Then 6 o'clock, we have some Grizzlies talk and some Tiger football talk with Jonah Dillon from the Commercial Appeal. He actually tabbed a really cool story because today's the official first day of new Memphis AD Ed Scott. Like, this is his first day on contract, the start of his tenure. I know that he's been around for a while and getting used to his surroundings the past couple of weeks, but today he is officially the AD. He wrote a story about five things in the first couple months, first year, that Ed Scott's going to have to get figured out. And I thought they were very interesting. And we'll talk it through with Jonah Dillon. Is he going to be able to accomplish all five? That is yet to be seen, but they will definitely define his tenure. Now, when we look at the Olympics, it was a fun weekend. The medal count right now, the United States is on top. No surprise there. 20 over home country France at 16. They're behind by 2 in gold medals, 3, and I think there's a lot of different countries tied at 5. But of the stories this weekend, what did I like the most? Chase Buttinger, that was cool to see. We keep getting the reminder that in 06, he was the co-player of the game in the McDonald's All-American game with Kevin Durant. And we know Kevin Durant's at the Olympics, lighting the world on fire. We'll get to that in a second in his first game of Olympic competition, because that's just what he does when he gets into the Olympics. Chase Buttinger won his opening match in beach volleyball. He is just a massive human being. And the blocks there right at the net, no one can get it over top of him. No surprise there. This is something I just can't get over. Paris, before they got the Olympics there, spent $1.5 billion to clean up the river right there for the Olympics. However, excess rain this past weekend swept millions of gallons of sewage into the river. So all the triathlon swim training has been canceled for the second day in a row today, because of E. coli levels. Get that figured out. Seriously, the fact that you spend $1.5 billion to go get that all squared away, and then one excess rain brings all this sewage back into it, and you can't – it's nasty. It's nasty
work. Does that mean, though, if they are able to swim within it, there are still levels of E. coli, just not to the point to where you have to cancel the event?
Yes,
if I was a swimmer, I'd still be like, wait a second.
Yeah.
So you're telling me it's
there are levels.
There's still levels
saying.
In this. Yes. It's just technically safe.
It's under the line.
Let's find a pool.
Yeah, seriously. We'll figure this out. I don't want to swim in that river. Simone Biles tweaked her calf over the weekend. She was warming up for her floor routine. So those that have not paid attention, she was complaining. You sort of heard her on the broadcast saying it was really hard to push off, and the all-around's going on right now.
Well, she was crawling around.
For women's gymnastics.
And then she popped up and crushed
it. But get this. Still posted top scores in vault and floor and led the all-around competition.
She is truly one of the greatest athletes I've ever seen.
She's the best gymnast. She's the most decorated gymnast of all time at this point. And as for how she's progressing and what she'll participate in coming up on Tuesday's finals, tomorrow's finals, everything. All four events.
I'm so fired up for tomorrow's finals.
I'm going to be locked in. I'm going to be absolutely locked in. It was kind of funny, though, on the vault, because that's probably her best event. Her floor is probably her best event. Vault's right there with it. She's good at everything. But the vault, she did her signature Biles 2, or what is the Yurochenko double pike, which no other female in vault competition has ever landed. She still did that with a messed up calf in the sort of first part before she gets to the final.
Well, and that's why
she's ridiculous.
There's a documentary out right now on Netflix about her, and it's following her journey and coming back from the Tokyo and you know what happened there with her getting the spins, which by the way, or the twisties, which by the way seems like a terrifying thing to have to endure. We got to find a better name for it. You know what I mean? It's calling it the twisties. It's more serious than the name that it gets because it is really scary. She was like, you basically don't have any control of your legs when you're in the air, and you're like, when you're doing backflips, you don't have any control of your legs. That's pretty scary.
Yeah.
But there is a quote within it where I think she has three or four things named after her now because she keeps hitting them, and that's how it works in gymnastics. And the person said, listen, one of the moves people can do. The other three, impossible to do. She's the only person on the planet that can actually land those.
Here's the other part of it that really blows me away. She's 27 years old. If you know anything about the shelf life of gymnasts, she is old. She is old, and she's still the best. And it still feels like she can compete at the highest levels in another 4 years. It's ridiculous.
The LeBron James of gymnastics.
It's honestly beyond that.
No,
feels beyond that. She's better at what she does than LeBron James. And that's insane to say. On the men's side for gymnastics, that was a fun story today.
Electric.
Steven Nadarozic. Pommel horse god. Because the women for the all-around do four different events. Men do six. Pommel horse is strictly for the men. He helped secure the first men's gymnastics medal in the all-around since 2008. They end up getting the bronze. I saw someone compare him on the pommel horse as the last event because he was sitting there on the side because that's all he does.
There's a countdown clock.
That's all he does. He just blows away the competition on the pommel horse, doesn't do any other of the five events. He's sitting over there in his glasses, people comparing him to Clark Kent, first of all, the Superman style. But I also saw someone compare what he did at the end of the all-around competition to get from seventh to third as someone nailing a 65-yard game-winning field goal in the NFL on the road in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And I said, that's a hell of a feat.
It's pretty good. I the only thing I would add was, because it was the commentator during the event that said that, and that is just one of those cross-sport things where he's trying to put it like gymnastics into layman terms for people, but he doesn't probably 100% understand football situations. So he dropped the 65-yard, and it's like, let's make it 50 or 60. Maybe that one's a little bit more realistic. 65's a hell of a kick. That would be a hell of a kick to win a Super Bowl.
But that's all pressure. You have one role, and you have to star in it. And that's why he honestly does. He embodied the star in your role conversation that we always have.
Going into the event, it was basically there was 18 things that they had to do, and they had to go 18 for 18, and they went 18 for 18. It was crazy. The performance that they showed today. I fell in love with that team. And then the fact that he was the hero at the end of it just made it.
He's like over there. Just
it took
so,
it through the roof.
He was so unassuming sitting on the side.
He can't see without his glasses. How the hell did he do that?
He with the glasses on the side, he looked like a graduate student that's being a teacher assistant in the anthropology department.
He's an engineer.
That's what he looks like.
He's an engineer from Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
They just call him in to close out the Olympics.
Pommel horse.
And on his Instagram story, he's posting photos of him completing a Rubik's Cube in 9.6 seconds.
So everything that he looks like,
Clark
he actually embodies.
Yes.
He is that guy. He does look like the graduate student. He is the graduate student that's TAing for his particular department.
I told Jeffrey I have a tattoo appointment to get him on my body in a couple weeks.
Oh, God. Where at? What are we
face.
Doing there? Right on the face. Yeah.
Mike Tyson style.
Right around the eye.
It'll be him doing the pommel horse just like on the side of my face.
Okay. Well, pommel horse across the forehead, him dismounting on the side with his hand up.
That's the way
it would wrap right around your left eye.
Did you see? He did the fist pump with his glasses in his hand after he won. It was electric.
It was absolutely electric. Now, basketball competition. Wimby was fun in France's opening against Brazil. 78-66 over Brazil. 19 points, 9 rebounds, 4 steals, 3 blocks. He's going to be a problem.
He keeps dunking on people outside of the restricted area.
Yeah. Yes. And then you have the women today. They handled business really easily over Japan. Did you see there was a fan from Japan saying you need Caitlin Clark to beat us. And then 2 hours later, 102-76. Aja Wilson had 24. Brianna Stewart had 22. Brittany Griner had 11. Kelsey Plum had 11. Chelsea Gray ended up with 13 assists. They're going to roll through. That's their 56th consecutive win in Olympic play.
Jeffrey and I had this conversation on Jeffrey & Co. Is the women's Team USA the largest gap in sports at the Olympics this year? Like the largest gap between the gold medal and whoever's going to come in second?
100%. Yes.
It's got to be, right?
Yeah. Well, I don't know about some of the smaller sports. Right.
It's just feel I would venture to guess that they're probably the largest gap. Because they were like, there's photos of them like laughing during the game today. It's just there's nothing that Japan can do.
There's a photo of
Diana Taurasi.
Diana Taurasi laughing because she's putting up a little hook shot and
hey, Brittany
like,
Griner's
this,
grabbing
this Japanese
rebounds
defender's too small.
With one hand. She's barely trying.
Yes. Yes.
Japan hit 13 threes and never had a shot.
Now, the men did well, 110-84 over Serbia. I thought it was their best game, even when we talk about their 5-0 exhibition run. I didn't think they looked all that great. But, I mean, the story of the whole thing, Kevin Durant makes his return, and he makes it triumphantly. 23 points. He was 8-for-8, and I believe 5-for-5 from 3 in the first half, and he didn't really play that much in the second half. But 23 points, 8-for-9 from the field, 5-for-5 from 3. He continues to be on the top of the perch of Olympic performers in men's basketball history. Somewhere around 19 points per game. He's got 11 20-point performances. He's in first by 5 games, 5 20-point performances over Michael Jordan, who had 6. He's ridiculous. And I can't imagine what Serbia is thinking going into that game. They know that Kevin Durant's going to play, and they probably feel like, okay, he's going to be a starter. But seeing him come off the bench, it's like, damn, forgot about this guy. What am I going to do with this guy? Now, one of the biggest stories out of that game in particular was the fact that Jason Tatum got 0 run. Tyrese Halliburton, you sort of expected, potentially would get no run. But Derek White ended up getting 16 minutes in place of Jason Tatum. And Steve Kerr said after the game, it felt dumb not playing Jason Tatum. But it kind of made sense with the way that Serbia plays. You needed somebody bigger and better on the perimeter to defend, and you played all three of your bigs. You were going to play Joel Embiid. You're going to play Bam. You're going to play Anthony Davis extended minutes because Serbia has one source that you know is going to bring offense, and that's Nikola Jokic, and you have to make sure you cover him up. So that's sort of why Jason Tatum was left out. But I understand why there was some concern and some conversation around that. Jason Tatum played really well, I think, through the exhibitions, and the fact that you have his teammate end up playing over him, it feels like, you know, I mean, people are doing the conspiracy theories right now about the Celtics. You know, Steve Kerr, you know, putting some seeds there of frustration where you leave Jaylen Brown off, you bring in Derek White, and then you play Derek White more minutes than Jason Tatum in Olympic play. Like, they're sowing seeds right now to try to take the champs off of their perch. Obviously, I don't believe that, but I think it was very situation-based. I think in the South Sudan game, which will come up on Wednesday, I think Jason Tatum will play a whole lot more because South Sudan has some really athletic, fast perimeter players, and I think Jason Tatum has a better shot to play. You don't need to put out a bunch of bigs. I think a guy like Bam Adebayo will probably be a guy who gets less minutes playing in South Sudan, but Jason Tatum should get some more minutes going forward in this tournament.
Yeah, like it makes sense why Jason Tatum didn't play. I think the reason some people have been annoyed, including myself, is Steve Kerr keeps trying to do this like, man, I felt really dumb not playing him. Dude, just say you didn't play him. And just say because it was matchup-oriented. It's the way he talks about it drives me insane. Because, man, just say you didn't play him. You don't need to make all these excuses. You don't need to act like you feel bad. You didn't play him, and that's fine.
But
I personally think Jason Tatum should have gotten some minutes at the end of the game once it was a blowout. I just think that Jason Tatum should have been able to get some run there. Devin Booker playing 26 minutes, the second most minutes on the team. I'm not sure that needs to happen moving forward. I would probably give Jason Tatum some of those Devin Booker minutes.
Yeah.
He's also starting three guards. Not sure that's the best way to maximize Team USA, because I will say they always start slow. It always seems like Team USA is starting slow, and I just hope that maybe when they slide Kevin Durant into the starting lineup and they're not running with three guards anymore, that will help kickstart this offense, because I do have, you know, I know that they had their best game technically against Serbia, but I have not real concern because I I tend to believe that Team USA is going to win the gold no problem this year. But they're relying on 40-year-old LeBron James a whole bunch.
Yep.
A lot.
Yep. I think it was disrespectful, like, in the end of the day, not to play Jason Tatum
for
a minute.
You should play
especially when it got toward the, you know, final minutes of the game and it was over. Give him some minutes. Also, give Tyrese Halliburton some minutes.
Yeah.
They didn't get all the way over to Paris not to play.
I don't care much about that one.
But, like, the opening game, when you have that type of lead, play your guys.
Right.
Jason Tatum has earned his spot on this team the last two goes around. He was one of the best players on the team in 2020 in that run that they made. He's earned his keep, and he did it in the NBA as well. He's very good at just about everything you ask him to do on the floor. I don't see why he didn't get any minutes in that game. I think Steve Kerr should be a little bit ashamed of himself for that.
Well, that's
I think it was disrespectful not to put him on the floor at least for a couple of
minutes. That's why it's been annoying him. You know, him talking about, well, I feel dumb for not playing him. It was your decision. It's not like anybody else had the decision for the lineup. You could have played him if you wanted to. If you felt dumb, you should have thrown him in. 5 minutes. Okay, just at the end of the game. It was over. It was not even close. After the moment where Steph, LeBron, and Katie just went crazy and were kind of taking turns making shots, the game was over. He could have gotten a run.
And here's where I think the disrespect comes in. Joel Embiid, I think Steve Kerr's mind has earned respect for whatever reason. I know he's an MVP. He's earned respect in the NBA. But he has put Joel Embiid in the starting lineup in every exhibition in the first game against Serbia in Olympic play. He has put him in the starting lineup regardless of how he's played. And how has he played? Miserably. He has been very bad. Like, actively bad. The FIBA rules are screwing with him. He doesn't understand how to play with them. He's still foul hunting. He's uncomfortable.
Bad defensively.
But you're giving him minutes because you feel like he's earned it. You're giving him that starting job at center for this Olympic team because you feel as if he's earned it. You don't want to anger him. You don't want to piss him off. But with Jason Tatum, you completely throw that to the side and don't worry about it at all. Oh, he can handle it a little better than Joel Embiid. We'll go ahead and sit him based on matchup. We don't need to give him minutes even in the final minutes of this blowout. Give Jason Tatum the due respect that you're giving Joel Embiid. You're playing guys right now based on sort of politics. That is how this has been. Show Jason Tatum that same respect. That's all I can say. I can understand why you didn't play him in the heart of that game. It was matchup based. I thought this was one of the best games that Team USA has played from exhibition into Olympic play. But at the same time, give the guy a couple of minutes. Let him play. He's made the trip over there. He's dedicated himself to this thing. He's actually played well through the exhibitions. He's earned a couple.
Yes, I would be shocked if we don't see Jason Tatum get minutes in the next game. He should be getting them.
Yeah, and there was such a big fuss, too.
It was a big fuss. And listen, I get it. In that game, specifically with the matchups, you wanted to have bigger players in there and guys who could knock down a three-point shot. That is really why Devin Booker got more playing time, because he was hitting his threes, and that's why he played 26 minutes. And I understand Jason Tatum is not necessarily a knockdown three-point shooter, but he deserved to be in there. Jason Tatum is, you know, arguably a top-five guy in the NBA. He should have gotten some minutes, especially in a blowout. And don't come on after the game talk about how bad you feel. It's just annoying.
Let me ask you this, though. When he does... Listen, I think it was a fine excuse or a fine explanation. It was matchup-based, and that's why I didn't play him in the heart of the game. But how much do you really buy into that excuse when we're talking about Team USA versus Serbia in particular? Do you really care that much about, you know, is Jason Tatum going to hurt your matchups on the floor that badly? Probably not. So, like, even that excuse falls a little short for me.
Yeah. It's a guy who's in, you know, I don't think he's going to win one, but he's in the conversation for MVP every year. He's an NBA champion.
He's B plus to A minus at everything you ask him to do on a basketball court.
He's going to be better than Joel Embiid is going to be. I can promise you that.
But obviously, you know, that's a different positions, and you know, I understand that part. But like, he is B plus to A minus. He's above average at everything you ask him to do on a basketball floor. I can't imagine he would hurt your matchup that bad against Serbia.
I guess it's just weird that, you know, a guy like Derek White gets 15 minutes and Tatum doesn't touch
the floor. When we expected him to be the 12th out of 12 guys, not playing at all.
Right.
But I do think he played really phenomenally defensively.
He did play well. He did play well.
Got some blocks at the rim, looked comfortable out there, especially on the defensive end. But still, play Jason Tatum. Give him the respect that he deserves. It was disrespectful to not even play him for a minute. 0 minutes sitting on the bench in his warm-up the entire time. He deserves better than that. I can say that much. Now, the best place to bet the games this summer is FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, because right now new customers can get $150 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. Then you can bet all your favorite international teams and all your favorite sports, from basketball to badminton to soccer to swimming. FanDuel has it all. So don't miss your chance to score $150 in bonus bets if your first bet wins. Just visit FanDuel.com/GabeK. That's G-A-B-E-K. Again, G-A-B-E-K to sign up and start betting the games today. Make every moment more with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. You must be 21 plus and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. If you have a gambling problem, call Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Now, quick life update. I got to give you this. We have some growth chart numbers for Baby Coon. We have some growth chart numbers today. We got the anatomy scan. You want to hear this? 94th percentile in weight, 94th percentile in length.
Pray for Taylor.
Well, pray for Taylor, but also, come on, NIL dollars. I'm taking bids. I'm taking bids out there. If you're in a recruiting, room somewhere, I'm here.
Just send it to Ryan's.
Find my Odyssey email. Figure it out. Taking NIL bids. But let's go ahead and grab a break on that note. When we come back, I do want to get to Ja Morant and his Hall of Fame induction speech and his Hall of Fame induction in general at Murray State. I want to focus on the messaging. I thought it was very positive, and I have nothing but glowing things to say about it. That's next, 92.9 FM ESPN. Before I hop into Ja Morant and his Hall of Fame induction at Murray State this weekend and some of the words that he spoke that I think are very important, the messaging was very well received. Memphis football has a couple of watch lists that we have to pay attention to. One, Memphis quarterback Seth Hennigan was named to the watch list for the Maxwell Award. He was one of 80 players named to the watch list for the award, of course, given to the best player in college football. Some of the other names on there, you have Jalen Milroe, Shedeur Sanders, DJU from Florida State, Carson Beck, Donovan Edwards, Luther Burden from Mizzou, Quinshon Judkins now at Ohio State, Nico Iamaleava from Tennessee in his first year starting. So he is in good company, and we'll see how the year goes. I think when they narrow down that list, if Memphis accomplishes and Seth accomplishes what he's supposed to, if they meet expectations, he could be on a refined list, to say the least. Now, also, shout out to research assistant Colby Cox, long snapper for the University of Memphis. He's on the Manley Award watch list, one of 30 elite company he's a part of, and the Manley Award goes to the best long snapper in the country. So not only is our guy Colby Cox, whose time is up here at 92.9 ESPN, not only was he third team All-AAC long snapper in Phil Steele's preseason magazine, he's on a watch list of 30 to be the best long snapper in the country.
Can we get that man's rating up, please?
Now let's go ahead and, yeah, seriously. And also,
disrespectful.
Let's make long snappers in the game. If you're going to add them to the game, don't list them as tight ends. And D-ends and everything
else. What did he have, though? A 90 awareness?
Yeah, he had one of the best.
And that is why he was our research assistant.
But I did hate for him that he was the lowest rated overall on the team because he was listed at tight end.
First 59, thing he did,
59 overall?
You think the first thing he did when he opened the game was change those sliders a little bit?
I think I would got do to. It. I would absolutely do it. I would do a road to glory at tight end just to spurn some people. I would have done a road to glory with myself as the tight end. I need to put him in just to play with him.
Just to see what happens.
Just to see what happens. I don't know if his catch rating's that great, though. So those drag routes, I don't know if I want to throw him to old Colby across the middle. And I don't want to see him get absolutely cracked and knocked out of the game, even on College Football 25. But one of 30,
an
elite group of long snappers that he is a part of in his fifth year as a collegiate. So that's fun in itself. Now, what was also fun this weekend, Ja Morant was inducted to the Murray State Hall of Fame. And I thought it went really well. Well-received message that he put out there. The crowd was really nice. The fans at Murray State were very happy to see him inducted. But I just want to go ahead and play a little bit of a clip from him, accepting his induction to the Murray State Hall of Fame. Go ahead and play it.
Start off by thanking God, for blessing me and blessing, each and every one of us for, being able to be here today. I want to thank all the fans, all the support, everybody here. For coming out and supporting me on a, special night for not only me, but, my family as well. I appreciate it a lot. After
I'm pretty sure everybody knows the recent events that happened. It's a lot of decisions, you know, each one of you could have made, whether it still support me or not. But to see y'all here, it means a lot. And, you know, I really appreciate that.
That's the thing. I think the latter half of that conversation in the clip really resonated with me. And he went on to talk about it even later in the speech when he had Kari, his young daughter, in his hand. But he was fielding questions and talking about the way things have gone from the last couple of years and how the support has really helped him through this time. But I always thought there was two ways this could have gone with what had happened to him with the 25-game suspension for brandishing a gun on two separate occasions on Instagram Live. One way was the way it has, right? And this is what we all hoped, that he would move better, stay off social media, understand the situation. After all, we know this was a guy that was not a highly rated recruit. He was not thought of very highly at the NBA level when he first got to Murray State. He grew into that, and he became a celebrity so damn fast. Got a shoe deal with Nike, and these shoes are just flying off the shelves so damn fast. It was hard for him to understand where he was at, but I think based on him acknowledging all these things, this is the way it's gone. He understands where he's at on the totem pole, and he's going to act that way. So that was the nice part of this. But I always thought there was another way this could have gone. You have to think about it in the context of the entire situation. We have guys in the NBA who have gotten caught on domestic violence. You know, they've caught domestic violence charges. Now, some of them have ultimately been dropped and pled down. You look at Miles Bridges. You look at Kevin Porter Jr. They didn't have that much worse suspensions than Ja Morant had. I know that Kevin Porter Jr. was out of the league for a year, but Miles Bridges was only 30 games. And then he ended up coming back into the league, and now there's bidding wars potentially for him to get traded out of there. Other teams want him. Kevin Porter Jr. gets another contract. He's back in the league. So you look at that, guys that have actually caught charges that are of great significance, something that the NBA wants to buck against. But those guys didn't get punished nearly to the extent that Ja Morant got for no criminal charges in the end of the day. What Ja Morant got busted for was for putting himself out in a certain way, for having an image that the NBA does not want to have from their best stars and their brightest stars. He gets 25 games with no criminal charges just because Adam Silver wanted to make an example of him. So the other part of this, and the way that we have seen some guys act in the past, Ja Morant through this process could have been defiant, could have felt like people were going after him unnecessarily, like he wasn't being treated equitably compared to some of his peers. Through those times, he could have become a lot more defiant and you know, held grudges against the Grizzlies, held grudges against the NBA, held grudges against some of the people and some of the sponsors that dropped him through that process. But based on the messaging he had at this Hall of Fame induction, I think it's the first part. I think he is really learning and he takes this seriously and he wants to be better and he wants to carry a better image going forward. So I'm glad to see that and I'm glad to hear the messaging around it.
Yeah, no, I think Ja Morant has done exactly what you hoped happened post-suspension, post-injury. You know, it was a dark year for Ja Morant. But at the end of the day, he was a young man that got given a lot of money. And at that age, you just kind of feel like you're invincible. You can do anything. I remember when I was at the University of Memphis, I was 21, 22, I had $200 in my bank account. And I was doing stupid things feeling like I was invincible. I can't even imagine if I had a max NBA contract, one of the top shoe deals in the NBA. And he just got a little over his skis and he made some bad choices. But I think the biggest thing that he has done is he has taken responsibility for it. He has not tried to blame anybody else. He has said, these are the mistakes that I made. But he also understood that just because you make mistakes doesn't mean that they have to define you. And he has truly grown since that happened. And he has been a leader. It sounds like he's been great with the Memphis Grizzlies. He talked about the Memphis Grizzlies and how important it was to him that they stuck by him. And I would agree. I'm happy that the Grizzlies, you know, were supporting him throughout this. And I really do think that this upcoming season, we are going to see the redemption of John Morant. Not necessarily that he needs to be quote-unquote redeemed, but just the story of how it's going to go.
Yes.
We love a redemption story in this country. Every single year in sports, we have somebody that is redeemed, and it's usually the biggest story that happens. It is John Morant's turn. I can't wait to see what he does. He has truly grown, it seems like, as a person, but I am excited to see if he has grown as a basketball player, and I think he's going to lead this Memphis Grizzlies team to a successful season, barring any sort of injuries that we had to endure last year. But he has done everything you were hoping he was going to be able to do, and every single time he has stepped up to a microphone to speak, he has taken responsibility for it, and he has talked about as he is trying to move on and grow and mature, not only as a basketball player, but as a person. And that's exactly the type of messaging you want to hear from John Morant.
Yes, and here's the thing. Like, I am glad he was able to seemingly, and we'll see, you know, over the test of time, more than just this offseason. But I'm glad that seemingly he was able to get through these things without catching a charge, without having something that could follow him for the rest of his life on his record. But I think one of the big messages that he talked about later in his speech at Murray State is, yeah, these things affect him. Like the image that he put out by brandishing the guns on Instagram Live, it makes him look bad. But also, you know what it does? It trickles down to everybody in his life, his family, you know, what happened through the entire process. They're talking about, does he have a good enough family life? Is T there for him enough? Is T a good enough father? Is T a friend or a father figure in his life? I think there's an understanding of how those things affected the people around him more so. And I think for a lot of people, you can be affected by something. You can handle those things in stride. You can move forward. But you don't really understand the message, and you don't understand the bad things that can happen through your actions until they affect someone else in your life, until they affect someone close to you, until they affect your teammates, your family, things like that, your coaches, some of the people that have brought you along, your sponsors, right? So I think that's something that he has latched onto. Maybe those things happening to him originally didn't get across to him, but seeing how it's affect everyone else in his life is something that I don't know if he ever wants to see happen again.
Absolutely. I mean, being in the public spotlight in the way that he was has to be a mind F going from, you know, Murray State, and you're not, it's not obscurity, but certainly not a lot of people know about you. And then all of a sudden you have a massive NCAA tournament, and then all of a sudden you're the number two pick in the NBA draft, and then all of a sudden...
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
And you're one of the stars of the NBA.
Yep.
And that has got to be a difficult thing to come to terms with, where every single move you make, like you said, has a ripple effect that is outside of you, that has got to be something to adjust to. And it just seems like he was trying to put on an image that wasn't necessarily him. And I think that's why a lot of us had frustration with him, notably during all of this going down, because we were like, this isn't the Ja Morant that we were introduced to when he first came to Memphis. It felt like a different person. It felt like he didn't necessarily understand who he was. So it feels like Ja is getting back to who Ja Morant is, and that's going to bode well on the basketball court, but also off the court. It's what he has done this offseason with the community and just the leadership he is showing. It's exactly what you wanted to see. When we were talking about best case scenario of Ja Morant coming back, I think we're kind of seeing it right now.
But imagine the frustration if you're in Ja Morant's position over these last couple of years and you tune in and you see things on ESPN and Fox Sports and people having discussions around you because it is the top story consistently. Right. But all these discussions lead to, is T. Morant a good father?
Yeah, that's insane.
Did he have a good enough family?
That's insane.
Is the city of Memphis to blame for these things? That's another thing that it did. It made the city of Memphis not look good, and I bet that's something that he had to realize along the way. Is Memphis changing him? Do you need to get him out of the city of Memphis? Those things, when you see them, if you're a Ja Morant in this situation, you think, okay, I've been the one affected, and you see everybody else affected. That's the frustrating reality. That's the crazy reality of the position he's in. And I think having the understanding of that was the main hurdle he had to get over, and it feels like we're there. But again, test of time will tell.
Yeah, because it was frustrating seeing that as a Memphian and a Ja Morant supporter and a Grizzly supporter. Some of the conversations that were happening around Ja Morant, in my opinion, were just way too far. Way too far. This is a kid who made a mistake on Instagram. He flashed a gun, but at the end of the day, he didn't break a law, so why are we treating him as if he did? It was, the teardown of Ja was a bit dramatic for me. We were trying to define a 22-year-old, 23-year-old by a mistake that he made.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to define him moving forward. We had all of this evidence that this isn't who Ja Morant was, and just some of the messaging, specifically that ESPN piece that came out, was on the line. I'm going to leave it at that, but it towed the line of something that was, quite frankly, gross, and I'm glad that we've gotten away from that.
It became about rap music and everything else.
If you just trying to blame T. Morant and the family and all that stuff for what was happening with Ja Morant was just like, come on, y'all. Are we really going to do this right now? Are we really going to do this right now?
Yes. That's what we do.
It was quite ridiculous.
That's what we do. When you have a young, impressionable superstar who makes a misstep, you start questioning everything about that person's life. And for Ja Morant to look at those things, and now T. Morant's painted as this bad father, and his family's painted as this family that just puts up with his crap no matter what. Like, that is terrible. And to read those headlines and to read think pieces about yourself that accuse the people around you of that, I think that changes you more than anything that happens directly to yourself. I think those things can affect you worse because you realize that all the decisions you make trickle down to every facet of your life, not just you.
It seems like he is going to be back in the sweet spot where he thrives, which is kind of being an underdog.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he's an underdog, but it feels like the NBA,
the underappreciated, having to earn your keep that has gotten them to where he's at.
It seems like the fans at large within the NBA may have forgotten a bit how damn good Ja Morant is at basketball. I mean, just last week, Andy Bailey put up a poll. He was trying to prove a point, and the point was not proven in the way that he wanted to.
It was Tyrese Maxey or Ja Morant.
What are we doing? Ja! Are you insane?
I think that poll, and by the way,
are you crazy?
Andy Bailey has no Memphis slant by any stretch of the imagination.
No.
I think he was like 71-29.
It was not even close.
71% of the vote went to Ja Morant.
Yeah, nerd.
Tyrese Maxey.
We watched the basketball games. Tyrese Maxey's a number two option on his team.
He's a great player. Love him.
It's not the same as
he's
Ja.
Not
are
on
you
Ja's
insane?
Level. No.
He's great. Tyrese Maxey is great. Great basketball player. Ja is in MVP discussions.
Yep.
He can be the best guy in the league on nights. He's the best guy on the floor every single night he steps out there. Maxey's not the best player on his team.
Mm-hmm. Now, sticking with the Grizzlies conversation, this weekend, Luke Kennard did not sign a contract to re-up.
What's
with
new?
The Grizzlies. But I did get this news today from Jason Munns at the Commercial Appeal. The Danny Thomas Celebrity Pro-Am is going to be played in a couple of weeks before the tournament here in Memphis. And it looks like Luke Kennard is expected to play in the Danny Thomas Celebrity Pro-Am. So he's doing a lot of things in Memphis. He continues to,
you know, brand. But use the Memphis Grizzlies as a brand. I mean, he had a picture on Instagram a couple of weeks ago with his newborn with a Grizzlies basketball right on his chest.
He was watching summer league games.
He was there with the team in Vegas. I mean, everything points to him being a Grizzly, but I don't know what's holding it up. I don't know. And one thing that I did think about is, especially after looking at the way Tyus Jones was treated through this entire process, this was a guy who made, you know, it was expected to make somewhere between $10 and $15 million per year, but it went so long into the waning days of free agency that he just had to go find a minimum deal. And we'll talk about it a little later. Signed a one-year, $3.3 million minimum deal with the Phoenix Suns. But I wonder if the Grizzlies are wondering if this price is being driven down a little bit and if they're going to really try to make this as team-friendly as possible. I'm sure they're going to try to do that, but looking at the way everybody's being paid at this point in the game, all of the you know, available free agents, I wonder if they get him for a cheap, cheap deal at this particular moment.
That would be great. That I think that's the hope of everybody. At the end of the day, I think the Grizzlies probably have an understanding with Luke Kennard that he's going to come back, and there are some things that they're trying to get done before they do the deal. I think we all assume that Zaire Williams was one of those things that they were trying to get done. With the rumors around Tyus that came out over the weekend coming back to the Grizzlies, I didn't necessarily believe it was a possibility that would happen, him coming back to the Grizzlies, but that told me that they may still be trying to free up some extra money, and the obvious person that would be is probably John Conchar, because it is $6 million next year for John Conchar, which is more than you would want.
Yes, yeah.
So I was just curious if the idea of the Grizzlies could bring back Luke and Tyus, that would have to facilitate another deal to get that done. So maybe they're trying to move off of John Conchar, trying to figure out what they still want to do at the end of that roster, and then they're going to bring him back. Luke Kennard might have just told them, listen, man, this is the range I want to be in. Keep me in this range. Go play with the money and do what you need to, but this is the range I'm going
to
be in.
I don't think they're trying to piss him off by driving down the price, right. But I think when you look at the leverage of some of these middle-of-the-line players in the NBA that play roles off the bench or play roles in a starting lineup, those contracts aren't big anymore. They aren't. I understand people look at Sam Hauser with the Celtics getting 4 years, $45 million. Oh, well, Luke plays a similar role to him, a flamethrower off the bench from the three-point line. But I think the Celtics are in a completely different situation than the Grizzlies. 100%. They're already over the second apron. They know that they can bring him back on just about any contract they want. They say, screw it. We're already over the second apron. Let's pay him what he's deserved. I don't think the Grizzlies are in that situation. If they can use their leverage to drive down the price and make it even more team-friendly, I think they'll do that.
That's a win.
Obviously, you don't want to risk pissing him off.
Right.
But I think when you talk about the rest of the NBA, are they going to be willing to pay him the amount of money we were talking about a couple of weeks ago, you know, that three-year $27 million deal or that two-year $20 million deal? I don't know if there's teams out there that are offering that to Luke Kennard, or else he probably would have signed it already.
I think that that's a fair statement to make. I also think it would be very odd for him to play in Memphis at a golf tournament and not re-sign with the Grizzlies.
100%. 100%.
So I hope it happens before that. If it doesn't, he's going to get some questions that he probably should get. But it is interesting how long this has gone on. Because when Zaire happened, we were like, oh, within hours.
Yes.
And now it's been like 2 weeks, three weeks.
Well, luckily, you know what I said? Last week I said this coming Saturday as the over-under. And we said under, but you're starting to doubt it.
Maybe they were watching the Olympics and got distracted.
Maybe. Who knows? Also, with the Tyus Jones signing to the Phoenix Suns this weekend, the Grizzlies were listed as another team that was involved in going to try to sign him. How did you read that?
I read as what I just said. I was like, to do it, they would have had to get off of somebody else, and that probably would have been John Conchar. And if it was possible for it to have happened,
I think they would have done it.
Sure. And if it was $3.3 million a year, I'll take Tyus back. Ultimately, though, they didn't need him.
No, but this is the way I viewed it. I think the Grizzlies, I know they listed like three teams that were like fighting for Tyus Jones.
It was Minnesota, Phoenix, and the Grizzlies.
To me, I think there was probably 30 teams once it got driven down to a minimum price.
That's fair.
And those were the teams that he was actually thinking about joining. Familiarity with the Grizzlies, familiarity with the Timberwolves, and then I could be the starting point guard alongside Kevin Durant and Devin Booker and Brad Beal. I think those three teams were what he was thinking, but I would imagine the longer that this whole thing went on in free agency, his representation, his agency probably realized that, hey,
we're going to have to make some concessions here. And I would imagine there was way more than three teams that were trying to go reach out to Tyus Jones to bring him in at $3.3 million. For a minimum deal, he is more than worth going to pay that money for a couple years.
For sure. At the end of the day, I think he landed at the perfect spot. Phoenix, it made all the sense in the world. I wish he was making more money just because I'm a fan of Tyus Jones, but he should have a good season knowing how Tyus Jones plays basketball and hopefully gets his payday this offseason. But it's a perfect fit for Phoenix. It's a miracle they got him for 3.3. That's crazy.
You say you hope he gets his payday this offseason. I don't know, man.
I hope he does.
I hope he does.
If he has a good year, he will.
But players like that, but what's a payday anymore for a guy like that? It ain't $20 million per year.
No,
it ain't $15 million per year. $10 million is even pushing it at times when you look at a guy like him.
Maybe.
But we'll see. Well, I do think he landed in a good spot. And the Grizzlies and Timberwolves were supposedly involved in that. But I think there was a lot more involved in that. Once that price for a guy like Tyus Jones, who leads the NBA's historically in assist-to-turnover ratio, once you get that under $5 million per, I think most teams are willing to go take on that contract.
I theorize that his lack of playoff performance may have been a reason. Because he's always shown it during the regular season, but not so much in the playoffs.
Yeah.
That could have mattered.
Yeah. He's got to be surrounded by talent, and I think he has that with the Suns. But we'll talk about it a little bit later as we get into the Blitz. We need to go ahead and get to hour number two, though, on that note. And leading off hour number two, David Cobb from CBS Sports, per normal. That's next.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.